going to need a strong man to hold this. Okay. Okay, so this is the Easter candle, the Paschal candle. We'll be using this candle all year, every time that we have a funeral or a baptism. So tomorrow we have a baptism. We'll be using it, putting it in the baptistry. There'll be a candle that's lit from it. So this candle was ignited and blessed last Saturday at the Easter vigil. And so what happens as part of that, the vigil, the mother of all vigils, the Easter vigil, is that the priest with the servers and the congregation walk into a church that's completely dark with this candle alone. This candle representing the fire of Christ, right? And as he comes in, part of the church begins to be illuminated, the part around the candle itself. So he's walking in, right? But what happens then? Well, everybody else has their candles, right? And they light their candle from the Easter candle. So they take in the fire themselves. So there is a passing over of the fire. And this flame keeps lit. It doesn't diminish whatsoever. That's part of the Exalted that's sung, that ancient Christian hymn at the Easter vigil. So there is a lot for us to ponder in regards to the Paschal candle or to the Easter candle, in regards to faith and how faith works and discipleship. Think about the apostles before the resurrection of Jesus. You know, Peter, I'm never going to deny you, right? And all of the apostles really think that they're going to be faithful to the end. Well, this is how it worked for them. They were with Christ. They were with the light. Okay? They were with the light. And so being in the light, they were illuminated. They could see, right? But they confused the light with themselves. And being in the light, they thought they had the light. And so when Christ was gone, they were in darkness. Right? They were abandoned. And so none of them stood. None of them were sustained. But what happens after the resurrection? Christ comes, as we hear in the Gospels, and he breathes on them. That goes back to the book of Genesis when God took the clay and breathed ruha, in Hebrew, the life of God, and it created a being. Jesus breathing on them is an act of God that brings about a new creation, a new life. They receive divine life. And so this is the way that Christianity and discipleship works going on. It's not that Christ is the light and then we come near and we're illuminated to some degree. What happens is this. So pull out my candles. All right. So right here and right here. So thank you. So we have our souls, we are lit from Christ, and we're no longer, you know, just taking in the light that comes from the fire. We are being lit, right? And so what happens then? That same fire, that's the fire of Christ, is lit, and we're able to light others and pass that fire and flame along. For being willing participants, you get to keep these candles. Keep them burning lit. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so you can pick them out. Okay, when we talk about discipleship and the new evangelization, what's new with evangelization is that something that's been missing for some time. Here's what we've had. We had in the early church this explosion of faith when this fire was passed on from one person to another. And we heard Francis read so well, didn't we? That's right, okay? He read so well that they devoted themselves to four things: communal life, the teaching of the apostles, to prayer, and the breaking of bread, which we know is the Eucharist. They devoted themselves. The word devoted means to come from the depths of one's heart, from one's will. And you know what they were doing? I have to put it so it doesn't spill. Okay? You know what they were doing? They were being lit by fire, and that fire was being passed on. And that's why it's real and true. What we hear is that everyone was in awe. When that happens, this is awesome. This is amazing. Great things were happening. So this is the way the church started. This is the new life in Christ. So what happened? Well, okay, over time, we are lit on fire, our lives are changed, we're passing it on. We start building structures of life with schools, communities, parishes that are a reflection of this fire and keeping this fire going, right? That support it, like our Catholic schools do, religious orders. And so that's a great thing. But what can happen is that you have these structures. So you have religious orders, you have schools, you have parishes that are the culture of these Christians. And what can happen is that there's light from these venues. There's light from the parish. You get direction, you get understanding. There's light from being in the Catholic schools. There's light from religious orders. But what can happen is that we can't confuse the social structure of the church with the fire that still has to be passed on from one person to the next. So what you have going on over time is that you have these structures and everybody's doing the right things, but there's no fire being passed on from one individual to another. So the structures of the parish, the schools, religious orders that we're supposed to support and protect so that this fire can be passed on, that every generation, one after another, could be lit up again, right? And you know when you're lit up because there's a sense of awe that's part of it. That's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It starts at these places are whitewashed tombs, right? The structures are all there, but there's no divine life being passed on. The new evangelization, which the last three popes have been talking about, is to begin again in a way that takes the fire of Christ and begins to pass it on from one person to the next. That I begin to be lit up again, or for the first time. And then becoming a disciple, one shares that fire and brings that fire to the next person. This is the direction, this is where the church is going. And so it's important, we can't just identify being a good Christian or Catholic to, I'm a part of a parish, I go to Mass, I go to a Catholic school, I'm in a religious community. Yeah, that's all the infrastructure to support this, but that does not mean that the fire is being passed on, that souls are being lit up and ignited. That's why we're returning to the new evangelization. So, okay, well, how do we get this fire started? How do we stoke this fire? We have to go back to what Francis read about in the Acts of the Apostles. They just didn't go through the motions. Brothers and sisters, they devoted themselves to the community life. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. They devoted themselves to the teachings of the apostles. They weren't just jumping through hoops. It came from the heart. They were choosing from the depths of their being. That's how the fire is lit. And that's how the fire is passed on. To truly be devoting to choosing each and every day, maybe each and every hour for the Lord. Okay, let's get a little bit more practical. They devoted themselves to the prayers. Devoting ourselves to the life of prayer is a way, one of the non-negotiables to keep this fire alive, to experience more of the awe of the Lord. And it can't just be this devotedness, can't just be a mere feeling and a movement, you know, to want to do better. There has to be a concrete resolution around it. There has to be spirit, right? I'm animated, I'm full, but there has to be structure for the spiritual life. There has to be a rule of life. Now, rule without the Spirit turns into a dead letter. We know that, right? But it takes both of them. This, most of you, hopefully you saw on the front page of the Eagle last Sunday, the article about perpetual adoration and Blessed Sacrament was featured there. That some of our, we have the oldest perpetual adoration chapel in the diocese. So perpetual adoration is prayer before Jesus who is exposed. The host is exposed in this gold instrument called a monstrance. And you pray before the Lord. So we have a chapel here. It's the oldest one in the diocese, and so that's why we were featured at Blessed Sacrament. There's parishioners have been had the same holy hour for like 34 years, 3 in the morning, talking about that. We're having a, I'm calling it an epic sign-up drive this weekend for Eucharistic Adoration. There are a number of you who have been sitting on the fence for years about saying, that's something I need to do, but then don't do it and don't follow through. Do you want this fire? That's what you got to ask yourself right here and right now. On the day of your death, what decision do you wish you would have made? Brothers and sisters, I'm challenging you, I'm inviting you to take that risk, to make that jump today. It's a money-back guarantee. In my mind, if you want a parish that is lit up, on fire, everyone has to be devoted to those four things. And we're talking just about the devoted to the life of prayer. And in my mind, in our day and age, at this parish, every parishioner who is an adult should have an hour a week, a committed hour a week. You can lay out a million excuses, but do I have to remind you of what my dad said? People do what they want to do. If not you, who? If not now, when?